Mountains, Rivers, and the Great Earth, reading Gary Snyder and Dogan in An Age of Ecological Crisis. What an amazing book, and what an important book it is at this time. After a summer when we saw ash from ancient forests landing in spider webs around our house in this neighborhood.
Yeah.
It's just, this is jump time right now. We're living in
jump time.
Yeah. May you live in interesting times.
That was a Chinese curse.
Yes, and we know what they mean by that. When did you first get interested in the work of Gary Snyder?
Oh, boy. It's hard to remember a time in which I was not interested in it. I would say, as a high school student in San Francisco, Gary Snyder was already in the air. And so we already had a sense that this vision went two directions that were very important. One being on the west coast of Turtle Island, the ecological issues, as early as the 70s and 80s, were already forefronted. And then two, this all had something to do with Zen. And Zen had something to do with revolution. And Zen had something to do with a different kind of a mind and a different way of living.
I'm trying to picture that time. So I'm guessing you graduated in 1980 or...
Good guess, 81.
81. And what high school did you go to?
I went to St. Ignatius College Preparatory, San Francisco.
Jesuit, sounds
Jesuit,
like.
Jesuit, yes.
Yeah. And so you're a Jesuit, but you're a budding Zen master in high school.
Yeah, well, you know, my father was a Catholic convert, so we got a strong impression about this being the way to live, from early childhood. That being said, I'll always credit the Jesuits for dismantling my faith and putting me on a different path. I think it speaks well of them as teachers, that the result of being under the tutelage of the Jesuits was not that I became more Catholic. I ceased in a very radical way to be Catholic at all, and I thank them for that.
Ceased maybe being big C Catholic, but certainly small C Catholic.
Yeah, small C. And also, I mean, a sense that what's at stake in Catholicism, whether you're on that path or not, are the big questions. And but these are philosophical questions. These are poetic questions. These are questions that ask us, even transformatively, to think about who we are and how we're going to live and who we are to each other. And Catholicism, at its best, has participated valuably in those sorts of things. In my text, I even call out Pope Francis in an appreciative way. He's a powerful ally, I think, in these questions. At the same time, the Catholics don't have a monopoly on these. So the bigger takeaway was living a more mindful and meaningful life. And for that, I thank the Jesuits. And for that, I'm grateful to be teaching among the Jesuits at Seattle University.
So San Francisco, 1981, was 7 years after Gary Snyder had won the Pulitzer Prize.
Yes, for Turtle Island.
And that was a moment of validation for the Beat Movement. And yet that validation wasn't necessary in a town like San Francisco. But it would seem to me that would only have amplified whatever kind of Beat presence, celebrity influence there might have been in that town at that time.
For sure, for sure. Again, I want to say San Francisco, for me, in my memory, and who knows to what extent memory mixes with desire, but as I now remember it, maybe mythologize it in my own mind, we all had a sense that Snyder was a Zen teacher, that was not something that was part of his Beat reception at a popular level. I mean, those who really knew Snyder's work, of course, would be the first to agree with that. But in terms of the kind of superficial veneer of how he was received, he was a kind of hippie, yeah, Japan sort of ecologist. And I think that just underestimates, A, the importance of the Beat Movement for radical ecological politics, and certainly underestimates Snyder.
You are a Zen monk, and Dogen has come up in other contexts.
Yes.
For those who never heard of Dogen, tell us about this Zen monk and poet who lived 800 years ago.
Dogen's the best. He's absolutely the best. My relationship with Dogen is complex, but I'll point to a few high points. One goes right back to Snyder himself. Snyder is good friends with Jack Shoemaker, who now runs Counterpoint Press. But at the time, he ran North Point Press out of San Francisco. Terrific press. It was eventually just swallowed up by FSG. And Shoemaker got out of town wisely. And that was the end of that press, the end of that experiment. But one of the things that they did early on, 1985, I think, or thereabouts, and under Snyder's insistence, Shoemaker and North Point published Moon in a Dewdrop, one of the first really serious translations of Dogen's works. That was done by Tanizaki, who was at... Tanahashi, who was at the San Francisco Zen Center, and a bunch of people at the Zen Center. That was seminal. That was when I first read Dogen. So that would have been in my freshman year in college. I'm sorry, my senior year in college. That was powerful, powerful experience. My own Zen training began in Rinzai. And I trained in Tofukuji Monastery in Kyoto. My first teacher, Fukushima, was the Dharma heir of Shibayama, who was the U.S. replacement for D.T. Suzuki. So it belonged to that really privileged, intersecting, of course, with the Beats, deep reception of Zen in the United States. And Fukushima really had his finger on academics who are interested in Zen. And he gave us all a very hard time and said, well, you think you can figure this out from books, you can't. And that was a very deep teaching. But when he died, my next teacher, and it was somebody who was in the States, so I wouldn't have to keep going back to Japan, was Soto. Soto comes out of, ultimately, Dogen. Soto's a translation of Kaodong in Chinese. That was the monastery in which Dogen had studied, where his great teacher was, Ruzhing, or Japanese called Nyojo. That was the great Chinese teacher of Dogen. Dogen came back and wrote, in his 53 years, I think one of the masterpieces in the history of Buddhism, and certainly I think one of the finest works in the history of Zen, and that's the Shobo Genzo, The Treasury of the True Dharma Eye, excerpts of which appeared in Moon in a Dewdrop. It's a lifelong study. It's deep. It comes from a very, very deep sense of Zen. And since the 80s, Dogen has really emerged as one of the great minds in this Zen path. Gary Snyder's own path was also Rinzai. He spent 10 years in Japan studying Rinzai in Kyoto. And he discovered Dogen also late through Carl Bielefeld initially, who's now at Stanford, who had done an early translation. But he also found Dogen electrifying.